Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Amen. What a wonderful opportunity we all have to start a new year. We have communion this morning, so that's a public. And even though we are eternal beings, there's only a finite amount of times that we take communion again until we take it in heaven. You know, will this be the last time before you take it in heaven? So, and I like that Jesus said that was his last time. He's like, I am not doing this again until we all do this again in heaven. So that's something to look for. We're going to start this morning. I understand that Sister Marion has a prayer, a blessing that she wants to present to the church. So we'll just start with that, if you would. Amen. Thank you, Sister Marion.
Well, let's go again before the Father. Lord in heaven, God Almighty, King of the universe, we worship and bless you and thank you, Lord, that you have always been in our life, Lord. I thank you, Father, that this year coming forth will be a year of change for everyone, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your mighty hand is upon your church, Lord, and your church will move forward and converge with all the ministries coming together, Lord, to bring forth your plan in this earth, Lord, to bring forth the prodigals, to bring forth all those that are lost, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that in your mercy you have sought fit, Lord, to be with us and to shine and go before us, that we may go before this light that you have placed before us to bring forth your word to the lost and bring them in, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that our blessings that you have bestowed upon your church has made us to go forth and do the things that you have empowered us to do, Lord. Thank you, Father, that in the name of Jesus, the power of the enemy has been under our feet and will stay under our feet until you come again, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that this year will be a year of blessing. This year will be a year of moving forward in you. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you glory for everything in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Great start. Great start.
You know, Jabez prayed that God would bless him indeed. Yes. But I just want to mention Jacob, who wrestled with God. Yes. Do you ever feel like you're wrestling with God? I do all the time. And I'll tell you what my wrestling with God is this morning. I am not satisfied. Yes. I'm not satisfied. I want more of God in my life. And as we start a new year, we can't just do another year the same way. As the song that Tony sang said, we need a move of God. And as Miriam just said, and I like this, God, this is your church. This isn't my church. This isn't Pam's church. This is God's church. And it's God that will move, his presence that will move. So, Pam, I know we've got an exciting message and for this coming year. So what's the word for 2023?
The word for 2023 is promise and hope, God, and faithfulness. I'm telling you, we titled our message, Our Faithful God, because we haven't always been faithful, but he has. I have to tell you, there is an air of excitement, truly, truly. I just want to say, you made it. You made it because of the grace of God. We can just give God a hand right now that we made it. We made it only by the grace of God. And why is that exciting? Because some didn't make it. And by that, I don't mean that they died. What I mean is they stopped serving God. They stopped being faithful to God. There are some who have not continued on, but we made it and we're here, and that is something to celebrate. And I want to tell you, we always talk about Pastor Ken, oh, God's going to do a supernatural miracle, healing of cancer, and he does. But do you know what a supernatural miracle it is that you are here today? Do you know, do you realize that the enemy wanted to and he tried to take you out in 20 and 22? And you made it through COVID, the year of pandemic, and you made it through 2022. And I'm telling you, it was a tough year. And if you say it wasn't, you are lying. It was a roller coaster. There were some highs, but there were some deep lows. We dipped down. But I have to tell you, we made it by God's grace. And I am humbled by that. I am humbled that I am here today. Thankful to God. But, you know, I was telling Pastor Ken something, and I really do feel led to share this story. And so I'm going to. There is nothing on this earth. I heard a man say this the other day. He was telling a testimony. He said, there is no pain on this earth like the pain of regret, of knowing that I blew something so bad that I don't get another chance at that. Now, you're here today and you have opportunities, but there comes a time in certain situations that there is no opportunity left. And he said, there's nothing like regret. And he was telling the story about a minister, a very prominent minister, who had an affair. And he was telling his testimony. He said, as I was about to do that, he said, the Holy Spirit was telling me, no, 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 I have good plans for you. I have great plans for you. And don't do this. And he went right ahead and did it. And 12 years later, he said, I live with unthinkable pain of regret and loss that I can never recover. It is now that we take the time and the opportunity that God has given us to say yes to God and to say no to the things of this world. One of the things that was on my heart also was when they were crossing the Jordan and Joshua gathered all of the Israelites at Shittim and they went to Jordan and they camped and the officers went through the camp and started giving orders. And they said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, which is the Ark of the presence of God, so when we acknowledge the presence of God, he said, I want you to do something. He said, I want you to consecrate yourselves because tomorrow God's going to do some great things. But he said this. He said, get ready and prepare your hearts because you've never been this way before. You have never been this way before. You have never been into 2023 before, and you don't know the way to take without taking up first the presence of the Lord. And God's word says that his faithfulness endures to all generations. And maybe you're sitting here today, just real quickly before I give this to Pastor Ken, maybe you're sitting here and you actually are someone who has regrets of the past year or years in your life, then there is hope for you. The promises of God are still in effect. He's still the pain taker. He still restores. He still makes wrongs right. And I want to tell you, if your car is broken down and your car stops running, if you stop running the race, there's some things you need to do to get back in it. There's some adjustments that need to be made on that car. There may be some new things that need to be added to that new car. Some old things taken away. But most of all, it might need gas. It might need the fuel of the Holy Spirit to get up and get running again. But it doesn't mean you can't start over. What a good day, Pastor Ken. It's your birthday. And, of course, I'm happy about that, that he's now getting closer to being my brother's old like me now. So I'm happy about that. But also that this is day one. How cool is that? Think about that. Day one of your new beginning. Today's the day you should make that decision to serve God, and God's going to be with you.
I like what you were saying about regrets. In my other job, which it's all one thing, one ministry, but I work with veterans every day. And all veterans say the same thing. They all have incredibly good memories of their time in service. It's like, oh, I wish I had stayed in. Now, at the time that they were going through it, it was tough. But after they got through it, they're like, wow, those were the best days of my life. And they all say, I wish I had stayed there. And it's that way with Christianity, that God has those plans for you. Satan has those plans for you. And Satan wants us to quit. He wants us to quit on our love, quit on our faith, quit on God and all of that. And I guarantee you that you are at your best when you're serving God. You always were. You know, think of the times you were away from God. Think of the time you were close to God. When were you at your best? When you were serving God. We do not serve a powerless God. We serve a risen God. He's in heaven right now. He's watching over us right now. He's watching over your life right now. If you say, God, I feel like he's far from me, he would say, I know how many hairs are on your head, okay? Do you know how many hairs are on your head? He knows you better than you know you. Do you have your fingerprints memorized? Nope, he does. He designed them. He designed your eye color. He designed your heart. He knows you inside and out. By the way, Jesus is an expert at many things. One of the things he's an expert at is knowing when we're sincere. I'm thinking about the judgment where people are like, oh, Lord, Lord, we served you. We're part of your team. And he's like, I don't know who you guys are. Who are you? I don't know who you are. So serving God by saying it is not nearly as important as doing it. So here's an illustration. And what do you think? There's two people. One man says, I'm no longer going to serve God. I think that I've finished. The other man says, I am going to serve God with all of my heart. The man that said he was going to serve God with all of his heart never did it. He just said it. He came to an altar and he thought he meant it, but then he went and he did not live holy. The man who said, I'm not going to serve God, thought about it and instead he served God. He was faithful to God. Which of those men is justified? The one that said he was going to serve God but didn't, or the one that said he wouldn't and did? The point of the story is actions are louder than words. That if we're serving God, we're being faithful to God. Here's the thing about serving God. This communion is a covenant, right? Covenant means to cut where blood flows. That's what the cross is. It's our covenant. Abraham, even back then, God said, you have to circumcise. There had to be a cutting of the flesh, cut where blood flows, a mark to know that you belong to God. This is our mark today, that we stand before the angels and the demons in heaven and hell and say, I belong to Jesus, and he's in me. This blood is in me. This the body of Christ is in me. So covenant is a two-way covenant. It's God being faithful to us. And believe me, any time the thought occurs to you, God is not doing his part, I promise you that's a lie. So you need to rebuke that and say, if there may be a problem, but I know where the problem is not. The problem is not with God. And if you think about it, God doesn't tempt you. He doesn't tempt you into sin, of course, but he trusts you. Job, he said of Job, have you considered how amazing Job is? He's faithful. And Satan was saying, have you considered how awful Job is? I believe that Satan would say of you that I can steal her faith. I can steal his faith. I can steal their love. I can steal their joy. He's not trying to get you to stand up to say, I reject Jesus, not in your words, but in your actions. And this is our opportunity. You know what? It don't impress God that much when you are blessed and you say, I love God and oh, I'm so blessed. Come on. Paul was not in a palace. Paul said, I was in prison. I was beaten. They sang those hymns while they were in chains. Paul's the great example, but name a Bible character that did not suffer persecution. Name a Bible character that did not go through a test where God said, look at that. In the hard time, they serve me. I know y'all are going through some hard times, but oh, does it make God smile when you're crying at the altar and you say, God, this is almost more than I can bear, but I am serving you. Come on now. Faithfulness. So God has created you in his image, and he said, here's the rules. You don't get to create God in your image and say, here's my rules. It's his way or the highway. It's his way or no way. It's Yahweh. So faithfulness to God. Matthew 25:21, his master said to him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So if you're faithful, you're also full of faith, aren't you? You're full of faith. Whoever heard of a believer that didn't believe? Your faith. And the faith is not in miracles. The faith is in a person. I have faith that Jesus loves me. I have faith that what he promised he will do. I have faith that he's coming. I have faith. Yes, the Bible promises us tribulation. It promises us trouble. And Jesus promised us something else. He said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going away to the Father. I need you to know something, that where I'm going to prepare a place for you, so that where I go, you're going to be also. That's our promise. That's our hope. And Pam, the Bible says, I'm preaching now, but come on now, we are not like those with no hope. Just take a few seconds and imagine that you're an atheist. Imagine you don't believe in God. You have no hope. No hope of heaven. No hope of a future. Oh, come on. We have hope. We have hope. Amen.
You know, I think for some reason you just can feel and sense the presence of God in such a tangible way this morning, because there is a celebration. There's a hope in your heart already. Just the fact that you've been here, I know that there's hope. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking the devil may have partied all night long last night and thought that your year was done and that you were about to quit. But this morning, he's shook. He's shook. All of hell is shook because you're right here. Because you're right here and you started all over again praising God and serving God. I know who's who in the church, because they're here in the church even now, no matter what has happened in your life. You know, it's interesting that we're talking about faithfulness of God, but I want to say what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is another word for love. Love is what motivates faithfulness. If someone is unfaithful in a marriage, it's because they do not love. They do not love. Just tell me whatever you want, but they do not love. If someone is not faithful to God, they're not faithful to God's house, they're not faithful to give, they're not faithful to tithe, they're not faithful to forgive, it's because they do not love God. Now, they may give you any other excuse. This is why I don't do this, but I know the truth. They don't love God. They don't love God's house, because faithfulness is motivated by love. If you're faithful, it's because you love God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And did you know that one of the names of God is actually faithful and true? In Revelation 19:11, then I saw heaven open, and there was a white horse. But the one who was sitting on the white horse was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. I want to be faithful and true, just like Jesus. And here's the deal about the first of the year. How you end something and how you begin something is very important. Now, hear me. You got to hear this. How you end something and how you begin something is very important. Let me tell you what I post routinely on Facebook. Because words have power. Do you believe words have power? Just shake your heads. Words have power, don't they? God created with words. Listen to this. How the first words out of your mouth, out of this mouth, in any crisis situation, set in motion what is to come. The outcome of that, what the outcome will be, your words. Now, you don't believe that, but I want you to go home and meditate that. The first words out of your mouth in any crisis situation, they set in motion what's about to happen. So when something that you feel traumatic has happened, you best start speaking words of faith. You best start speaking the word of God. I'm telling you, it does not help you to talk about the problem a million times. I'm not kidding. It does help you to talk about the promises. Talk about the promises of God. They are many. They are plentiful. And this is, I'm going to give you my yearly challenge, because some of you have not taken me up on it yet. I say it year after year. I'm going to say it one more time. It is now 2023. I'm going to say it again. I'm challenging you. You may never have done this before. What if you were to give your whole life to Jesus this year? What if you gave him 1 year, just 1 year of your life? You've given the devil plenty of years. What if we gave God 1 year? And I mean, you hit it hard. You hit the book. You hit the book. You started reading the word. You started coming every Sunday. You even came on Monday. You made a decision. I'm going to give God 1 year. I'm going to tithe And besides tithe, because that's already God's, I'm going to give because that sets in motion the blessing of God. What if you decided, I'm going to forgive? It's hard, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this year. And you gave God 1 year. I'm telling you, when you came back to see me at the end of the year, you'd be like, never in my life have I dreamed it could be this good. Never could I have imagined what God would do for me. But here's what we do, and I'm going to be brief with this. There's a man in the Bible named Jeremiah, and he was a hot mess. Do you know that you can have a gift of God and be a prophet and still have all kinds of emotional troubles? Because it's a gift. It's not an emotion. So here's this guy, Jeremiah, and this is a funny story in Lamentations. He says this, and this is us. Put yourself, you're that. I remember my affliction, Ken, and my wandering, and I remember the bitterness of the gall. My life was like vinegar. And the vinegar years, I call it, the gall. I remember them well, he says. Don't you remember the bad years? Well, I know I do. And my soul was downcast in me. That makes me sad to think of all the bad things that happened in my life because I remember them very well. Yet this I call to mind. All of a sudden it hits him. Wait a minute, I'm a prophet of God. I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. I have not been destroyed because of his compassion that never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He was a mess, this prophet. He was known as the weeping prophet. He was the complaining prophet, but he was still a prophet, and he knew that there was hope, and he knew that there's a God, and he had no choice but to say, great is your faithfulness, Lord. So my challenge to you is to give God this year. Do it just 1 year. I challenge you just 1 year, and you'll see a difference.
You only have one heart. You got two of lots of things. You got two eyes. But you only have one heart. We only have one life. And I looked at the clock yesterday at 5 till midnight. And I said to myself, Ken, there is no guarantee you're seeing 2023. There was only 5 minutes left in 2022. And I said to myself, there's no guarantee that I even make it to the next year. But we are not like those without hope. When you realize that you are an eternal being, and when you put your hope not in a belief, but I know in whom I have believed. It's not a Bible that I believe in. It's the author of the Bible that I believe in. That he loves me. That he loves you. That he's designed everything. God is able to have the same emotions. He doesn't have our emotions. We have his emotions, right? He's not copying us. He designed us to be like him. So when you have joy, that's what it's like when the Father has joy. And when your heart is broken, that's what it feels like for the Father. And you know in heaven there's lots of, it's joy unspeakable. But you also know that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And I know that God is grieved with the state of the world, that the world has said, we don't want God. And I know why they don't want God. I know why that they're atheist. It's not really that they don't believe in God, because they say there's no atheist in foxholes. What that means, by the way, is that when your life is in danger, oh Jesus, oh God, like, well, I thought you were an atheist. Oh Jesus, what happened to I'm an atheist? You know, people learn how to pray pretty quick. You know, even the most hardened of sinner. Throw him out of an airplane and you'll hear him say, oh, Jesus, right? Because, as Pam says, you never hear someone say, oh, Buddha, oh, Buddha. That's right. Something is in the human heart that points north. A compass points north. A bird knows where to go. A salmon knows where to go. I don't know how. But in your heart, you hear the story of the cross and it points north. And that's why I'm saying you people will say, well, I have all these defenses before God. God is an expert at knowing the truth. It's not what you say. God knows what you think. And of course, you know, I'm always amused when it says Jesus answered them over and over. You'll see this in the Bible. Jesus, and you'll say, but no one said anything. He's just reading their thoughts. You know, when the woman is worshiping and at his feet and she's anointing him his feet with perfume, they weren't saying a word. They were all sitting there going, oh, if he knew who that was. And he answered them. I would like to respond to what you're thinking. But it's going to be that way in heaven. You know, that's why there's no such thing as hidden sin. You can only hide it from yourself. So Lamentations 3:26 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I know we want things right away. We want Wendy's and we want it now. But Wendy's and Burger King and McDonald's, they make horrible hamburgers. And if you think they make good hamburgers, it's because that's all you eat. You need to make a good hamburger and then go, no, this is a good hamburger. Good things you have to wait for. Joseph was offered a bowl of soup. All right, your brother sold you into slavery. How about here's this woman, you can be with her. He's like, no, thank you. Joseph had to wait. Abraham had to wait. We had to wait for Jesus to be born in the manger. Even Satan had to wait. He's like, well, let's kill Jesus now. And Jesus, it's not my time. You can't kill me before it's my time. There's a day appointed. I believe the most dangerous thing that can happen to a Christian is to get an offense at God. Don't be offended at God. First of all, he didn't do it. You know, if you get hit in the back of the head with a snowball and you turn around and you see God, it wasn't him that threw it, right? Someone else threw that snowball. So God is on your side. And Jesus loves us, and I am excited about this year. And I am excited about what Pam just said, that last year we had that opportunity to really live for God. And if you didn't, you know, I got another year to live for God. But you go, I'm not sure it's going to be this year. Well, which year is it going to be? I mean, I was telling everyone, back when I remember in 1965, the neighbor kid, I asked him how old he was, and he said he was 8. That's old. He's 8 years old. And I remember in 1970 thinking about the year 2000, and I said, I will be so old in the year, the year 2000, I couldn't even imagine it. It sounded so much like the Jetsons. It's like, you know, 2001, A Space Odyssey, and that 2000. We are living in the future. It's 2000, I almost said it's 2021. It's 2022. It's 2023. Leslie told me today, she said, we wrote the check for 2022. Time goes so quickly. Do you realize that how long it was since the Christmas before last? Do you realize that was like 3 weeks ago? Doesn't it seem like it? Doesn't it seem like time just moves and moves? You are a dandelion that springs up and disappears. We live the shortest lifespan. And the question is, will we serve God? And I choose Jesus, and I know that you choose Jesus. You don't just choose Jesus. You choose Jesus in the middle of Babylon. You choose Jesus in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah. You choose Jesus when your neighbors don't choose Jesus, when your job doesn't choose Jesus, when your family doesn't choose Jesus, when they say, you're not one of those stupid, ignorant people that believe in Jesus. You go, that's me. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. And Jesus said, if you will acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before my Father. Oh, come on. Come on. You're going to hear all those people, I never knew you, I never knew you. And while Satan is accusing you, you did this and you did that. And you're thinking to yourself, I did that, I did that. He's got it right. And Jesus said, that one belongs to me. Come on, that one belongs to me.
God is faithful. Do you know that God is faithful in every season of life? No matter if it's a hard season. You know, I've been studying the book of Job, which I'm excited to teach very soon. And one of the greatest things I've always said is the sermon that Satan preached in saying that, well, God, you've done this, you gave him that, you gave him all these cattle. And he said he was petitioning God to test Job. And he said to God, he said, did you not put a hedge of protection around him? You have put a hedge of protection. How did Job know there was a hedge of protection? I know the answer. He had already tried to get to Job. You know, we see all the bad things that happen, but we're forgetting that God has this hedge of protection, and there's lots of things that never happened to you that the enemy intended to do. And even when you do go through a test like Job, you may still trust God, because God is still going to come out faithful, because after the test, he's going to make it right. I've got a promise, like Tony sings a song, that everything's going to be all right. I can tell you that God has been faithful since I was a baby, since I was a child, since before I was born, faithful to parents and parents. I mean, I don't care how old you are, how young you are. My mom is back there, 96. Is he faithful, Mom? He's faithful. Has he always been faithful? Has he ever stopped being faithful day by day? When you cry and say, God, I'm hurting. I need something. And God is faithful. And I just see it. For me, it's such a wonderful thing. You know, when we go through trouble, we do need to acknowledge what Pastor Ken said. God didn't cause the trouble. God's the one who gets us out of trouble. And I've said there's two things. Sometimes God saves us from trouble, and this is what I mean. There's trouble heading your way that will never happen, okay, because God sent an angel or because God spared you from it. Supernaturally, divinely, he saved you from trouble. But if you find yourself in trouble, he will deliver you from out of trouble. So he'll save you from trouble or from out of trouble. Either way, you get delivered. Either way, the end of the Job story is good. Either way, the end of Joseph's story is good. And either way, the end of your story is good. I always, at the beginning of the year, I think about God and I think of everything. And I just, in my heart, I just feel like for me personally, 2023, I've declared it the year of living free. Free from sin, free from doubt, free from pain, free from shame of the past, free from the bondages, free to love, free to give. I just believe that there is a freedom in Christ. In 2023, let's live like we believe that we really have been set free. That we have been set free, and this is our year. And I believe that we can get to that place where we acknowledge the freedom we have in Christ. We are not living under the thumb of Satan like some believe. Absolutely not. We are free in Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And let this be your best year yet. And when I say that, it's not just, well, I want all these blessings on me. You were born blessed to be a blessing to other people. Wherever you go, let your light shine. I mean, pay for the person behind you. Talk to the person. Don't be afraid anymore. Get yourself free in the Holy Ghost to go up to somebody and say, God, put it on my heart to speak with you. God, put it on my heart to pray for you or give you this gift. Let's live free in Christ.
Yeah, I witnessed an interaction last week. This homeless man showed up to our offices, and there's a rule that you have to be a veteran to get help. And there was just a few of us there, and the woman that was helping him, he said, I just need some food and I need some clothes. And she said, are you a veteran? And he said, I'm not. And she said, let me. And she looked right at me because she knew I was hearing this, and she didn't know my stance on this because I didn't know her that well. Because she realized she'd kind of been caught. She's going to help this guy. She's not supposed to help him. And she looks at me and she said, we have to help him. He's a human being. Come on now.
She did good.
Come on now. You're going to have food and clothing. I also read on the internet about a person that the police were called to a store because they had shoplifted. And when the policeman found out what they had shoplifted a hat and gloves. And she said, I was just so cold. She goes, I just needed a hat and gloves. And the policeman paid for her hat and her gloves. Come on now. That's ministry. That's ministry. Yeah, not some televangelist flying around in their jet. God bless them. But true ministry is when you've done it to the least of these. And I know I've shared this before, but it was such a powerful picture. There's an art piece somewhere. And what it is, from a distance, you see a park bench. You don't realize that it's not a real person. But it looks, it's like a bronze of a person sleeping on the park bench. And they've got this little blanket covering them, and they're obviously cold, and they have no shoes on. And it looks like a homeless person sleeping on the bench. But when you get closer, it's Jesus. You know, it's Jesus. When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. That's that part of being that Christian is, there's so many hurting people that we're always aware of that. That's our, we, Paul said we have a ministry of reconciliation. Not a ministry of beating people over the head, telling them they're going to go to hell. If you got to tell someone they're going to go to hell, you got to at least give them a blanket. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you're going to tell someone, if you're going to correct them, you know, you've got to bless them. No one ever turned to God if they didn't get some food or a blessing. They have to know that we love them. There's a couple of scriptures, and I'm almost done. And this is such a, I'm just going to read this one. Well, I love this scripture, Pam. Pam found this one for me. It's Proverbs 3:6. I think it's a scripture for every one of us today. This is a scripture for next year, for this year. 2024 already? Just wait a few seconds, I'll be here saying, I can't believe it's 2024. Amen. And we'll say, we can't believe how much God blessed us over the last year. Amen. So here's the scripture for you. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. In everything you do, put God first. So I'm going to close with a story that I haven't actually shared in several years, but I've always remembered it. It's from the early 1900s. It's a true story. You all have heard of the Borden Milk Company. Well, they were in the early 1900s. They were the milk company, and they had a son, the Bordens, the family that had the milk company, had a son that was called Bill Borden, good name, Bill. And Bill got saved when he was about 16. Now, he was already a millionaire at age 16, and I read his life story. Wow, did he get on fire for God. I think he was at Yale. I'm pretty sure it was Yale. And he started Bible studies, and he was ministering to the worst. He said the people he wanted to minister to was the ones that rejected God. So those are the ones he went after. So as he graduated college and got a little older because of his family name, he was offered all kinds of cushy nepotism jobs. You know, here's a great job for you. You'd be the president of the company, vice president. When you're rich, you get nepotism. And he told his parents, he said, I don't want to work for those firms. And they said, well, Bill, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go to China to minister to the Muslims. They go, you're going to go where to minister to who? You know, here he was at the time, 21 years old, which, when you're above 21, you say all 21-year-olds are just, they're foolish. And so his parents thought, this is foolishness. They're like, you're a millionaire, and you can live this lifestyle, and you're going to China? And so he went to China, and it was the last time his parents ever saw him. While he was in China, he had his Bible, the first thing he wrote in it, which I always say, the most important page of your Bible is the one where you put your name in there. That's saying, this is my word. This belongs to me. In my Bible, one of my Bibles, I wrote, and I don't know where I got this from, but it was the first thing in my Bible that said, this is the streams where living water flows, to remind myself, this is living water I'm about to go into. And I always like to think of that. Before I open the Bible, this is the Word of God. It is living. It is alive. It's going to get inside me. So it's by honoring the Word honors you. So he wrote in his Bible, as a millionaire, no reserves. In other words, he didn't keep anything back. He died, by the way, he died broke. I said he was a millionaire, right? He started soup kitchens. He was giving away. He died broke. No reserves. When it comes to the kingdom of God, he had been given millions of dollars, and he's like, this is for God. Then, after he was in China, the second thing he wrote in his Bible on the page, and I guess this was to encourage himself. So it's already said, no reserves. The next thing he wrote was, no retreat. No retreat. I guess there was that temptation. Go back to America, just live as a millionaire. No retreat. He was sold out to God. He caught a disease. I want to say it was spinal meningitis. I think that's what it was. But he caught a disease and he died. And when he died and the word got back, it wasn't just a person that died. This was a celebrity because of the Borden family. The whole United States knew about that the Bordens had lost their son. They shipped the body back to him. And, of course, to them it was like, what a wasted life. He dies in his 20s. And they got his Bible and his final entry right before he died. So we got no reserves, no retreat, and right before he died, no regrets. A young man who poured out his life for God, he lived his life well. And I hope that we, you know, young people give us that. When I read Fox's Book of Martyrs, this wasn't 80-year-old men. This was 16-year-old girls saying, I will not deny Jesus Christ. Polycarp. It was meningitis. Polycarp, who was 95. And I'll close with this. And they said, hey, Polycarp, did you know that in Jerusalem they're putting Christians to death? He wasn't living in Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. They said, you didn't hear me. That's where they're putting Christians to death. That's where you don't want to go. And that's where he went. He sat up on the street, and he began to talk about a man named Jesus. They arrested him. They found him. He wouldn't shut up about it. They found him guilty. And they said, you have been sentenced to die by fire. So they put him on a wood pile, however you do that. And before they killed him, they said, Polycarp, you're 95. By the way, Polycarp was a disciple of, I can't remember if it was Paul or John now. Okay, what, Paul or John? So it was early in the days. But before they killed him, they said, Polycarp, we don't want to kill you. You're 95, come on. We don't want to kill you. Just say you denied Jesus. And these were his final words. He said, he has been faithful to me all my life. I'm not going to be unfaithful to him now. And he died. So I'm going to go play piano. We'll take communion. Love you guys. We are a family. We belong to the family of God. And if bless you, I'm praying God's blessings over each of you.
Let's all stand and go before the Lord as Alan comes to lead communion. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he bless you all the days of your life and throughout this year.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.